Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. The last couple of weeks have just been crazy busy. My best friend's mom's funeral was on Friday, and I was putting that together with two other ministers for the past couple of weeks, and you know how easy it is to make ministers work together. My wife was unexpectedly laid off on Thursday. I've been invited into some real struggles with people recently in the community. I was away for a couple of days working at the general counsel office to prepare the work for the week-long general counsel, which is coming up in a month. I have a dear friend in hospital who counts her future with days now, not years, not even weeks. She has days. And my heart and mind have been assaulted by news of children being separated from parents and politics at home and abroad, which honestly is just why it was probably inappropriate, but I just needed to put a kettle on during the last hymn. Because, like, I need a cup of tea. Oh, I need a cup of tea. Anyway, so Jesus was on the boat, and there was a storm, big storm, wind blowing, waves crashing against the side of the boat, the apostles hanging on for dear life, sure at any moment they'd capsize. Like any of us, they were terrified. And Jesus was napping, as if he wasn't worried at all. And finally, they wake him and they plead with him, "Help us!" And although he chides them for their lack of faith, he still calms the storm. Whoosh, it's over. The wind is gone, the waves have disappeared, the sea is calm and still. Ah, perfect. There we go. I don't have enough for everyone. Now, if you went to Sunday school or seminary with me, you know that this moment in Scripture shows that Jesus and God are one with all of creation. God is not separate or divorced from the elements, not separate or divorced from creation. It's not just us that's in communion or relationship with God. All of creation is in relationship with God because even the storm obeys Jesus. Get it? It's cool. Jesus is like an Avenger. An awesome superhero has great powers and is clearly worthy of my cheers and my adulation. And probably a lot better than any of those non-Christian ones, you know. But here's the thing. I had a friend who got sick and died, and it wasn't fair, and it wasn't right. Why didn't Jesus stop that? My wife did not do anything wrong. Why is she out of a job? Why didn't Jesus stop that? The death toll in Syria continues to climb. There's inhumanity all around us. A 21-year-old has been charged with shooting in a playground that injured two little girls here in Toronto. Never mind the weather. Why didn't Jesus stop that? I mean, I love the story. I really love the story. But I don't need a Jesus who can stop the storm. I need one who can stop bullets. I need a God who can stop racism, who can put an end to hatred. Stop me when I'm being part of the problem and refusing to be part of a solution. I get so angry, and I get so upset and hurt, and then angry again, and it all begins to storm inside me. Immigration policies and practices at home and around the world, residential schools, war in Syria, tone-deaf politicians, teenage victims of violence, child criminals. Am I supposed to resist or fight or accept? What's my part in it? Am I to blame for what's going on in the world? Does my desire to hang on to the comfort and familiarity of my privilege allow inhumanity to rain down on those not fortunate enough to be like me? It's like a storm inside of me. It roils up like a boiling kettle. Oh, it reminds me. Do you have a friend who offers you tea when the world doesn't make sense? Just, I don't even like tea that much. But sometimes a cup of tea slows me down and it warms me up. And it brings calm. And suddenly the story of Jesus in the boat begins to make sense. Because it's not about a superhero who controls the weather. It's the observation that the presence of God, that deep abiding faith, can calm storms. Like a cup of tea. It warms you. Right to the core. And it really does slow things down. Because I've never seen instant tea available in a supermarket. When I think of the storms in my life, and I've had a couple, it was my faith that warmed me, slowed me down, and carried me through. My faith in God. My faith that God is present in my struggle. That God is present in all the struggles of the world. My trust that Jesus doesn't just do party tricks. He actually speaks and reveals and embodies truth. So that when I'm lost or confused, I can stop and I can listen to the words of Jesus. And I can pray and I can wonder, what do I do next? Those moments when my hurt was so profound that it made my whole body ache. My mind and heart were just swirling around, making no sense. I remind myself that I believe in God. I remind myself that I am beloved. I can almost hear God speaking to me, saying, just be still. I'm with you. You're not alone. I love you. And in that next moment, I know that I will survive. The storm inside me, the storm around me is calmed. And you know the thing about tea? When you put it in a cup, you don't actually have to grab the handle. You can hold the cup and offer the handle to somebody else. You can give them calm. You can give them perspective. Because you know, it's not just our faith that gets us through the storms. Sometimes it can also be the faith of another. Sitting with my friend on her near deathbed, I'm overcome with emotion. It's a storm of sadness, and I feel lost in a sea of just memories. And we talk, and she talks about how much she's enjoyed her life and has no fears about the future. How she looks forward to not worrying anymore. Has no doubt that what comes next brings her into closer communion with God. And she's not afraid and she's not lost. And in that moment, I'm not either. Truth and reconciliation with my Indigenous siblings, it's hard. It's hard because I don't like the truth and I'm not sure I can afford reconciliation. There's a storm of rage and guilt, and I think that it just might capsize everything. So I'd rather not deal with it at all. And then I talked to a friend who survived residential schools. I mean, went through all of the horrors that have ever been reported and more. The difficult path his life has followed, the pain and the injustice. But he doesn't want me to pay the debt of the past. He's forgiven the culture that took and tried, that took his away. But he has a hope for what we can do together now, what can be restored and reconciled. He's let go of the past injustice, and he's working on present justice for everybody. And talking to him, it's a cup of tea. His faith helps me when mine seems inadequate. I was stunned when my wife texted me on Thursday morning to say that she wasn't going back to work. I didn't think that was going to happen. I had no idea. It never occurred. I wanted to rush home, but we had definitely not church on Thursday. And I, you know, Drew is a solo act. It's just not the same. So I woke her up when I got home at 11 o'clock, and I was outraged. I wanted to fight the company that laid her off. I wanted to demand justice. I was hurt on her behalf and frightened on my own. But honey, what if you don't get another job? I mean, who's hiring 63-year-olds these days? My faith was in a panic. The waves were crashing against my boat, and she looked at me and said calmly, "I probably won't get another job. But we've been through tougher things. We're going to be fine." In that moment, she handed me a cup of tea and went back to sleep. And her faith calmed the storm, and my faith woke up in the boat. And we're fine. And this morning, I recognize that at times, I have been that cup of tea for someone else. It's been my faith that others have relied on to get through the struggle and the storm. At the death of a loved one, in the midst of destruction, in the absence of hope. Some people have asked me directly, "How can you believe? How can I believe?" Others have silently implored me with their eyes, their tears, their shaky hands. "How can I have faith when everything has fallen apart?" And I've never had great words in those moments, nor great theology or philosophy. But I've held some hands, and I've sat and I've cried, and I've hugged and I've prayed. I remember once sitting holding somebody, and we just sang old hymns. And I've shown my faith more than explained it. And I've been told later how important my presence was, how it calmed the storm. And I'll bet you have too. Because it's not something for which I have a special talent. I told you, it wasn't a lot of great theology or philosophy. It was presence. Each of us has the ability to share the love and the presence of God. Each of us can calm the storms for others. Like in baptism or in just being a community together, we've actually committed to being cups of tea. That's what we've said we're going to be. We will be cups of tea for each other, for others, for strangers. But there is a trick or a precondition to doing it properly. To be the one that shares that cup of tea, the one who calms the storms, we have to be who we are authentically. We have to be truly ourselves, which means that I will share and be God's presence differently than you. I will use humor. I will hug. I will sigh. And I'll probably cry, because that's me. I will try to make things better in this world by letting go of some of my privilege and make space for others to grow and lead. I will be authentically me. You see, I think that's what the David and Goliath story is all about. At least that's what it's all about for me. Goliath is this giant, right? He terrifies all the armies of Israel. He cannot be defeated. David is small, like me in the face of great evil or darkness. But David's faith brings him to volunteer, to take on Goliath. He somehow believes that he can vanquish this giant. He can win the battle and calm the storm for the Israelites. And eventually he wins the approval of King Saul. Not like there was anybody else eager to go into battle. And naturally King Saul is appreciative, if dubious. And he wants to show David how to do it. He wants to equip him for the battle. And so he dresses him in his armor. And understand, Saul is a large man. So his helmet engulfs David's head. And his breastplate hangs low on the shepherd boy. And his sword all but tips little David over. It's good armor, but it doesn't fit. And it isn't David. David is a shepherd. He has his own way of doing things, ways that may not be familiar to the king or to the rest of the army, but ways that can be effective. And David, in that moment, refuses to be somebody that he is not. He refuses to wear the armor that is not authentically his. He puts them aside. He claims his own authentic self, and then he's able to win the battle. He's able to reveal God's presence powerfully for Israel in the story and in that moment. You have to be you. I have to be me. If we can all be who God created us to be, who we're joyously destined to be, then God's presence, God's love can abound. Literally flow through us all. But we have to be who we truly are. That's why there's a Pride Month. That's why we're an affirming church, to encourage all members of the LGBTQ plus community to be authentically who they are, to affirm their love, and that their lives are sacred, and that God's love and presence flows through them when they're not trying to dress in someone else's armor. That's why we repent and need to work at making reparations for our role in residential schools, where children were taken from their parents and imprisoned, taught and coerced, forced to be other than who they were created to be. We force them to give up their culture and their identity, their personhood. And in doing so, we precluded them from being able to fully share God's love and presence. Motivations can be debated as long as we want, but the reality is we tried to stop God from shining through those precious lives. And that's one of the great tragedies of racism and sexism and homophobia and transphobia. We try to force people to be other than who they are created to be. We refuse to recognize them for who they are, and in that, we shut down God. We pour all of that precious tea into the sink. But it needn't always be that way. Everybody here, we have seen light in the darkness, each one of us. We have experienced the presence of God in the storm. As victims have forgiven, as oppressors have repented, as communities have rallied together, as strangers have reached out, as friends have provided shelter, as we've released some of our privilege and made room at the table for others, as we've confronted our own racism and bigotry and made changes, acknowledged our own fears and found hope. It's a journey that we all take, a journey that can change not only our individual lives, but also change the world. Because as we do it, God flows through us. Along the way, I suspect that we're going to need a few more cups of tea. There'll be a few more storms that need to be calmed. But I have no doubt that when you need it, somebody will hand you. Somebody will hand me a cup of tea. And Jesus will wake up and calm the storm. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, it's hard to thank you for the storms, so we accept them. But we'll thank you for the cups of tea that have slowed us down, given us perspective, made us aware of your presence. We thank you for the opportunities we've had to share a cup of tea with others. And God, we ask that we never stop sharing. That we keep our eyes open for storms, and we keep our eyes open for worry, and that we invite people to slow down, be authentically who they are, and know that they are loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.